And every time I see a baby, a parent brings a child to the Lord, reminds me of our hope, knowing that God will take care of them, and that one day they'll grow up and say yes to the Lord. That just makes me feel good all over. That's what we believe. That's what our hope is. And it's true. I won't be long, but I want to thank you, Pastor, for allowing me this opportunity to share in this great ministry series. And I thank God for you. God first. That's been important to me because I think in this day and age, when our country is polarized and divided, we put politics ahead of our theology. We put culture ahead of our theology. And rather, our theology should be informing our politics and transforming our culture. And we only do that by putting God first. So I thank God's call to the people of God to turn everything around is simply by putting him first. If my people, which are called by my name, that's what he says, 2 Chronicles 7. You started out by saying putting God first makes an amazing difference in the path to joy and life to the fullest. That was his first message. Second message that he brought God first was preparing a dwelling place, a place of meeting. It's all about God. He's talking about Solomon as he built the temple, how he danced before the Lord. Third message about God first. What happens when God is not first? Talked about the distractions and the drifting away from God, as Solomon did, even though that he started out close relationship with God, all on fire for God. And he got distracted by the things of the world and politics and power and prestige and money. And then we find about Solomon in this last installment that he gave words from the wise over in Ecclesiastes. When Solomon is an old man, looking back on his life, sharing with us that it's not worth it. Not the money, not the women, not the prestige, not the power. Nothing is valuable apart from God. So today I want to speak to us from God first sets the proper priority and simplifies life. God first sets the proper priority and simplifies life. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus and thank you for the blessing and privilege this moment and this opportunity to share word. And God, as we've looked at and we've been immersed in your word about putting you first, thank you for the conviction that you brought on my own heart to rethink and refocus and to relook at how we're doing that. God, we need you in this day and hour. And our desire, Lord God, is to seek after you with our whole heart. We pray, Father God, that the word that will go forth out of our mouth will be strengthening, encouraging, delivering, and glorifying and honoring to you. So in Jesus' name we pray, and we thank God. Amen. I was looking for my wife. I know she's here, and kids, and I know I can't see that far off, but they're over there. There he is, all of them. So I also thank God for my family. Now, I never announce when I'm preaching, Pastor. Somehow my wife always manages to tell them, and they, wherever they are, they come to share with us. And I thank God for that. That means they think enough of me and what God's going to say through me to take time out to hear. So I thank God for them. From Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 30 through 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the pagans, the worldly people seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Getting back to our foundational scripture, Pastor. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the King James Version. If you'll bear with me, let me read it from the Amplified Version. But if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But the first and most important, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things shall be given unto you. Our passage of scripture is coming from what is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, verse 1, you'll see, and he's seeing the multitudes went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are, and that's where the Sermon on the Mount starts. The great theologian Augustine said that this is the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher to ever preach. And I think the scripture validates that. For over in the 7th chapter, at the end or the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, those that were in authority or those scribes and Pharisees said, he don't speak like us. He speaks with authority. And I think it's in John 7 and 46, Pastor, the Pharisees had sent them to get Jesus, came back without him, and they asked him, where is he? And they said, never did we ever hear a man to speak like this. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that when Jesus is speaking, it behooves us to listen. When Jesus speaks, worlds come into existence. I know y'all not hearing me. When Jesus speaks, lame folk get up and walk. Dumb folk speak. Deaf folk begin to hear. When Jesus speaks, life's change. Dead folk get up out of the grave and come forth. So it behooves us when Jesus speaks, and he's speaking here. He said, I send forth my word, and it goeth forth out of my mouth. Isaiah 55:11 says, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing and where I send it. We need to pay attention, I'm trying to point attention to the word of God here, when Jesus is speaking. But it's not simply enough to hear what he has to say. For James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. You can listen to message after message, sermon after sermon, all you want. But until you put into practice the word of God, you'll never enjoy the benefits that God has for you. What I'm saying today is let us hear what Jesus has to say in our text, and let us purpose in our hearts to strive to apply it in our everyday life. Now, I love this passage. For you don't need a dictionary. You don't need to have gone to seminary. You don't need a theologian to unravel it for you. It's simple. Anybody can understand it. The text speaks for itself. Jesus is speaking about anxieties and worries in his life. We are living in an anxious time. People are consumed by, they're anxious about life. And I'm not just talking about folk in the world. I'm talking about folk in the church. Born again believers. Jesus says in our passages of scripture, your father, which implies personal relationship. Jesus is speaking to the children of God. He's speaking to us. And let's be honest. When we look out at what's going on in the world, in our own lives, we can get anxious and begin to lay awake at night. Start pacing the floor at night. Pacing without praying. People even get sick. Develop ulcers over what's going on. What's happening with my retirement account? My bank account? My children or grandchildren that are going off to school in this school environment. My husband, my wife, will they leave me? Racism, social injustice. Do I have the right and the newest Air Force Ones? Will my grades be good enough to get me into college? Will the college scouts see me, see how good I am, and give me an offer and a full ride? Will I be a Division I, Division II, mid-major, a college community recruit? Stop. All of us have concerns and get anxious every now and then. For instance, to be honest, I get a little anxious every time I have to preach. But then I go to work. I start praying. I start reading God's word. I start asking the Holy Spirit to guide me in my thoughts. See, my anxiousness is about the will of God. Will God use me in this moment to bring glory to his name? Will someone be strengthened? Someone be challenged? Someone be delivered? and helped as a result. I know that without God's anointing in this moment, everything that I do is in vain. What I'm not worried about is how good I look, because I know I look good. What I'm not worried about is my reputation. Will somebody invite me back? Will I get another opportunity to preach? There is a difference. Some concerns are good concerns. What Jesus is speaking against, and I want you to get this, is worry that is self-centered and has its root in lack of trust in God. If what you are doing is all about you and your reputation, if all you are doing is to be seen and to be recognized by folk, then your view and motivation is too limited. Your rewards are too temporary. They'll never last. They're only for a moment. You'll never be satisfied. But wait a minute. We're going too fast here. Didn't Jesus say in this same sermon, let your light shine before men that they might see your good works? God wants me to look good. Yes, he does. But it's not to shine a light on your own or ourselves. Is to be able to point others to him. He has given you gifts, talents, and abilities, employment, business, positions. They are the resources. I said resources you need to enjoy life. Some of us begin to rely on the resources and we forget about the source. Don't forget God is the source. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. I have an example here, and I didn't ask Coach Leonard, could I? He's in our presence today, and I thank God for him and his wife. They're somewhere over here. And he's probably wondering, what am I about to say? Don't worry about it. He is the winningest high school football coach in Illinois history. Oh, yeah. Over 400 victories this year. They went to state this year. Continuously, he's a winner. That's good work. But I wouldn't waste my time just talking about that. Every time somebody puts a mic in front of his face to do an interview, to broadcast on TV, social media, the first thing that comes out of Coach Leonard's mouth, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Who made all of this possible. That's putting God first. That's recognizing that all of everything that he has is because of God. But he's not keeping that testimony to himself. He's letting the kids know. He's letting the world know. And he continuously reminds himself of that also. So I hope you didn't mind, Coach Leonard. Then I have my son. I think Timothy's here somewhere. Just another example. Maybe cognizant of my time. Ooh, I'm way over time. Let me. I'll have to move on. I'll get to it. But I want to give you this. My son Timothy is here today somewhere. But I'm going to be honest with you. I used to get in my feelings when Timothy would call me. Sometimes Timothy would call me and we're talking on the phone. Remember, I said he called me. And when we're talking on the phone, all of a sudden he'll get another call. It's Shannon, his wife. And immediately he says, "Dad, I got to go. My wife is calling. I'll hit you back." He don't even give me a chance to say bye. All I hear is click. But that's how we need to put God first. His is the most important voice we need to hear. All other voices need to be shut out when he's talking to us. That's the lesson. That's how you put God first. Listen to him. But right now, we need to talk about and be about God. When God is first, his voice is the most important voice above all others. It doesn't matter who's getting in their feelings. What God has to say is the most important and should be our top priority. I'm not going to be able to finish this, but that's okay. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me try to unpack this real quick. To put God first, there are at least five things that I see here. Number one, a lifelong continuous pursuit. That's seek. A daily priority. That's first. A wonderful privilege, meaning that you're in the being able to get into the presence of God. A call to purity, meaning a walk of righteousness and holiness, not imputed righteousness, because imputed righteousness is what Jesus did for us on the cross when he died for us. But we're talking about a righteous life. And then we have number five, a divine promise that is conditional. Uh-oh. There are unconditional promises in God's word. And there are conditional promises in God's word. And usually when you see the conditional promise, it's identified by if. But other times, it's just simply implied. In our passage of scripture, it's implied. If you put me first, then these things will happen. You won't have to worry about them. Jesus says, seek first. Seek. If he hadn't added the word first, you could have a whole list of things and God in there anywhere. But he sets the priority for you. Let me cut through the chase because we're running. My background is business. I managed the Walgreens, and then eventually I was promoted to be over 31 Walgreens, a $280 million operation. One of the things I looked for every time I went into the store was your daily list and the top priority. The top priority on every list I was looking for was not profit, but customer service. So everything in the list below had to flow into how are you going to make sure the customer service is being taken place. Our top priority, Jesus is saying, is God first. And everything else on your list has to flow into that, seeing how we're going to bring glory to the God that we serve. It's a wonderful privilege. The kingdom of God is the realm in which God is present. We're seeking to be in God's presence as a deer panteth after the river brook, Psalms 27:4. So my soul panteth after you. Do you do that? I mean, you don't have to answer to me. Is that your heart? Remember, I said it's conditional. It's all of these things, so that those things will be taken care of. He says, We have this divine promise. You seek me, which is implied condition, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the conditions will be met. All of these things shall be added unto you. The promise is that when we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, you will receive the very things you would otherwise have worried about. When you desire to have more of God, God gives you more than you could ever imagine. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him and call according to his purpose. Let me end by this. I want to rephrase this a little bit and restate it. If our life's pursuit and top priority each day is to get into the presence of God, hear the voice of God as he speaks to us in prayer and out of his word, to walk in the ways of God and be led by the Holy Spirit to bring glory to his name, then we don't have to worry about anything. God's got your back. Denzel Washington, I'm closing. One of my favorite actors. 2015 delivered a commencement address. And he started by saying, oh, this is good. I know I'm way over. Let me take a moment to wholeheartedly congratulate each one of you today. You graduated. You did it. You made it. Congratulations to you. And you did it all by yourself. Nobody helped you. No, he says, that's not what you know. That's not what I thought. That's what I thought when I was young. I started to really make it as an actor, and I came in and I talked to my mother and I said, Ma, did you think that this was going to happen? I'd be so big, I'd be able to take care of everybody and I could do this and do that. And she said, boy, stop. Right there, stop right there, stop right there. She says, if only you knew how many people have been praying for you, how many prayer groups have been put up together for you, how many prayer cloths she gave me, how many times she splashed me with holy water to save my sorry behind. She said, oh, you did it by yourself? I tell you what, you can go out yourself and outside get a mop bucket and wash the windows. You can do that by yourself, superstar. Then he said to the graduating class, I have one thing basically to tell you. Put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I have accomplished, everything that you think I have a few things. Everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life. And to keep my humble, I don't always stick with him, but he's always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what I think I've done, then you do what I've done. Stick with God. Put God first in everything that you do. As the ministers will come forth, there may be a one who needs to decide to have a relationship, first of all, with Jesus Christ, their Lord. There'll be someone at the altar. If you want to make a commitment and you realize that you have not, God has not been first in your life, and you want that, won't you come forth? If you're just simply in need of prayer, there's a lot of things that's going on in your life, won't you come forth now? Prayer changes things because it reaches the hand of God, and God will reach down to touch the situation when you invite him in.